Welcome to He Said, She Said Razor Branding Podcast with Michael Russo and Jackie Russo. To learn more about how to improve your brand, visit brandrusso.com.
Today's guest, I love Jackie, and I was kind of dreading it, to be honest with you, because I was not dreading it. I just, I wasn't in the right mindset for it. And it was like, I saw a real estate agent. I was like, we had a couple of real estate people on here before, and I didn't know where it was going. But it wasn't about that. It was about being authentic and about being real and how you deal with people and really across any industry, across any platform, across really anything. And I think that's some principles that we could all take to heart and grow from.
I agree. Greg McDaniel is a special guy. He's interviewed me on his podcast twice. And both times I left feeling like I got a lot more than I gave. He is so smart and so insightful and authentic and real and down to earth. And I just think he's a special guy. And I love a conversation that happened really off camera that y'all won't get to hear. But Michael's asked him to come and speak to our team. That's how great this guy is. So I think this is going to be a little bit of your time well spent.
Absolutely. And I think, the best way, I didn't tell this to him, but if I could tell him, I think I'm better today after talking to him. Like, I'm a better person. And that's crazy. I would never say that. I'm not that kind of person that feels moved by people that often. But I feel like, he had some really nice way of putting things and like, okay, man, if we all did this, what a better world this would be, And so I hope everybody does listen to this one. This is one that is worth your time.
And this is why we schedule the guests, because you never know what they're going to bring to the table.
Anything else you're going to introduce? Or just...
I do at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Remember, it says, welcome to the show, Greg. Said...
Okay.
But
are you talking about
say...
who he is, though? Like, Greg is a this
and
that?
Oh, yeah, I can do that part.
I mean, come on. That's your job.
Well, the thing is, what we just said about him is far more important than the fact that he is a real estate agent in Northern California with 2 decades of experience. You know what I'm
that
saying? Like
all?
That.
Yeah.
Well, no, I could say this. Greg McDaniel is not just a real estate agent in Northern California with 2 decades of experience. He is a relentless champion for you, for authenticity, for people. His experience, his knowledge, and the way that he connects people. He wants to share his talents. He wants to serve the next guy. He wants to find a way to connect you with your mission and your goal to help you get there. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks for being here. You know, when you and I had a chance to talk a couple months ago, twice actually, it really made me realize how similar we are. You know, we're in different geographies, we're working in different industries, doing different things, but I think we have a very similar approach when it comes to how we think about people and communicating and connecting with people. And so I thought maybe you could start off just by telling the people, the listeners that we have today, a little bit about your background, and then we can jump in.
Sure. Not a problem. By the way, Michael, I got to tell you, I'm very envious of your fidget spinner thing. I had one and I broke it, and I love those darn things.
I have so many things. I am a antsy person, I guess, by nature. So it depends on what I tend to have. I have slinkies. Yes.
Oh my word. You're not kidding around.
We'll send you a collection of things.
You know what? I love that we have a good dialogue and a good connection here. And one of the things about my history and my past, I'm a complete and total screw up in regards to education. I barely got out of high school with a C+, C- average, went to college, spent $100,000 of my parents' money, got D's and F's. They yanked me out by my hair at the end of that experiment after 2 years. So I don't have a college degree, but what I do have, I have 3 different diplomas in life, and it's straight up hard work, and it's on the streets. I mean, I know how to read a situation. I know how to do real estate. I know how to interpret a personal interaction in a positive way or walk away from it, something. So from what I've done in my life so far is that I have always tried to put everybody in front of me so that I can see their value before them seeing my value. Because you know what? If they don't like me, that's fine. That's cool. But you know what? This is the point of a conversation. We go from like, you know what? I really want to do work with you, to the point of, you know what? I'm not sure I'm the right person for you in your life or your business. And when you have that conversation with people, and this is something I realized when I was in my younger years, you take away the intentionality for you to get the business and you push it back onto the other individual to say, hey, do you want to do business with me? I mean, think about a marriage. When a man or a woman asks the other person to, hey, do you want to be in business with me, AKA marriage? Yes, no, binary answers, correct? And so that's what I really learned in life is everything's a yes or a no. There's no middle, there's no gray. It's yes or no. And that's my personal opinion. And people can agree or disagree with me. And that's totally fine. That's the amazing thing about living life. But my history and my story about that is I've lost a lot of people from drugs. I mean, I just found out two other people this week died from drugs and everything else. And I was blown away by that because then all of a sudden you think about how short is life? What do you do with life? Because we think we're going to wake up in the morning, but we don't. Some people don't. It just doesn't happen. That's the same thing with business. Sometimes you wake up and you have a business, the other day you don't. And so I formulated my style of talking, my style of communicating with, what if you don't wake up tomorrow? How can you bring life better to another individual that they can then, you know, take it and push it down to the next individual to make their life better? So that's kind of 10,000 foot view, because I don't want to get you guys too much in the weeds on this stuff, but that's kind of been my concept on everything.
No, I love that. And I didn't know anything about you. I know Jack had spoken with you earlier, but I kind of feel like I know you already just from that statement. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, we just had this internal meeting with our team, and Jackie put forth these like 18 tenets of things that, you know, who do we want to be as a company, you know, and as people. And one of those things in there was kind of everything you just mentioned. It was three different, I think, different ones. Jack, I don't have them offhand, but it was, you know, how do you see value in other people? How do you authentically communicate with them? And all these things were relevant. And I'm thinking, you know, what a wonderful place the world would be if we had those, and not just as a poster on the wall, but we actually took them to heart and we dealt with people even in business that way. How much better those relationships would be over time, you know?
You know, Michael, I agree with you 100,000%. And here's the reason why I agree with you is that a lot of folks, they make statements, they don't ask questions. So questions are the most powerful thing, because you can draw content out of somebody by asking a specific question versus telling them how cool you are and what you've done. Ask them what their needs, their wants, their desires are. Where do they want to be? When do you want to be there? How do you get there? You really get involved in their life, because the number one storyline that everybody loves is their own self storyline. Now, once you understand their storyline, then you fill in the gaps. I've always told folks, don't build a business plan. Build a life plan and put a business plan behind it. Therefore, you live your best life. You can help people live their best lives based upon their desires. And it gets lost. And that's something that's phenomenally interesting to think about. When you really break that down, what does that look like, right? So you have to ask that internal question. What is my life plan? Like, do I want to wear a three-piece suit? Do I want to ride in limos? Do I want to live on a yacht? Do I want to live on a houseboat? Do I want to live in the hills? Do I want to work with people that are not that nice but have a lot of money? Do I want to work with people that are super awesome, that don't have a lot of cash but are going to be my best friends for life? Figure it out. And then you can serve. The people that are going to come to your tribe will always follow you. Jackie, you and I have talked about this several times.
Absolutely.
Your tribe will find you.
Absolutely. One of the things, Greg, that I bump up against a lot, and this is something Michael and I don't always see eye to eye on, because I'm all about the authenticity. You know, be your real self. He's
are you
always worried.
I'm not. Part of that statement is, no. I'm about authenticity. Michael's about, no. I mean, come on, where are we going with this?
It was a comma. It wasn't a period. No.
All right.
But Michael's always worried about how my being too open, too real, too me, too much might come across as not professional enough. So where do you draw that line between authenticity and professionalism?
You know, Jackie, that's a phenomenal question. And Michael, I think you and
See,
I-
Michael, Phenomenal question.
It's a phenomenal question.
Thank you, Greg.
And this is why I think it's such a good question. It's because I've been asked that about a million times. It's a hyperbole. I mean, I'm not really, it's not a million times, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I stopped trying to be fake and I just started being real on every level because everyone's like, well, what about your professional page or your personal page or this, that, or another thing? And my response was, I'm tired of trying to be something I'm not. So you know what? I'm an ex-alcoholic. I used to do a lot of drugs. I'm a workaholic, and I got a major blanking flaws, right? And so I show the world exactly who I am. And I do this for one reason. And this is my personality. This is how I'm speaking. Not anybody has to do this. But I do it because if you don't like me, then we're not going to work together. And I qualify and quantify my clientele based upon that. I mean, to be honest with you, my last client I just listed for about $1.8 million in real estate. We sat there and talked about growing weed. And how he grinds up his weed, and he walked me through all of his collectibles and everything else. I had another client, and we signed that day, by the way. And I had another client. She has a pig. By the way, it's named Piglet. And we walked around and talked about farms and culture and everything else because my family, both sides, my mom and my dad comes from farming. So I connect on different levels. And if you don't like me because I don't dress up or I don't do what you want, dude, I'm fine with that. I'm just not your guy. And that's cool. Go do your thing. But it also comes to interpersonal relationships. When you look at, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, parents, children, friends, family, extended family, everything else, you have to start stepping back and looking at the real conversations that are taking place, not the surface conversations. Oh my God, how's the weather? How's this? How's your drive? Blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. So what's the real reason why you're late? Well, because I was hungover. Okay, cool. Now I know where you stand. But people don't talk like that. They don't have that level of honesty. And honesty is something that in my life is becoming very, very important. As we all get up there in age, doesn't matter where you are in age when you hear this podcast, honesty is going to be your most critical thing. Because if you're crystal clear on this, then you can never lie. Because you're never gonna say an untruth. But once you start sliding in that slope, have a good one. Not doing it. Sorry.
I think though, Jackie. I mean, but like, I'm sorry if I cut you off in your
good.
Thought. But
no, you're good.
But whenever you're that authenticity or that who you are, the problem comes in, especially from a branding perspective, when you're dealing with people that you're not in contact with every day. What are you putting out there? And how is that perceived when you're not there to say it for yourself? I'm not there to hear you talk about it, you know?
Michael, I'm so glad you asked that question. And this is what I do about that. I hit them ahead of time on that. I say, look, I'm going to come over and meet with you. I'm a super casual guy. I'm going to wear a baseball hat, a hoodie, jeans, and probably some running shoes. And by the way, my dog's going to be with me. Are you okay with that? And they're like, yeah. And here's a funny story, by the way, there's two of them. I've said this to two of my last two clients, both $1.8 million properties. Brought my dog with me. My dog went in the backyard, took a shit in their yard. Both times, by the way.
No.
And guess what? I signed the contract because I told them what to expect. And I'm like, Rupert, like, are you for real? And he's like, what? I got to go. I'm like, okay, cool. But the people were not mad. They were literally never mad, which I was baffled about because I told them what to expect from me. Yeah, I wasn't going to say like, I'm going to come over with the best, you know, this, that, or another for listing appointments or business approach or anything like that. Just showed up like, yo, dude, I'm going to wear jeans, running shoes, a hoodie, and a baseball hat. And by the way, my dog's probably going to poop in your backyard. Are you cool with that? And the people, they every single freaking time they do this. Yeah, dude, we got dogs. Yeah, dude, no problem at all. I mean, I actually had one of my clients go pick the poop up for me and then sign the contract. So the authenticity is honestly what a lot of folks miss, because we're prescribed to a certain script of going, I have to look this way, say this thing, do this action, so on and so forth. Again, this is me speaking. I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, guys, but I've decided to say, screw that. I'm just going to be who I am. And if you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. And when someone wraps their heads around that concept, imagine your freedom. Imagine that freedom. You don't have to be something you're not. You can be authentically you. And once I realized that, because when I got into the real estate business, my dad has been an agent for, I think, like 65 years. I just got off the phone with him before we got here. Yeah, 65 years as a broker in 3 different states. And I tried to be him. I dressed like him. I wore the same cologne, same shirts. I combed my hair the same way. I wore the same freaking shoes with pennies in them, penny loafers. Remember those? I actually had pennies in those damn things. Because that's what he did. I'm like, okay, this is the way to do it. But then I said, man, that's just not my story. That's not how I feel. I can't do this. And I found my own voice, my own life. It literally changed my mindset on everything, because now I was free of being something I wasn't. And if somebody can find that freedom in any industry that they're in, you, in my opinion, have just you won the lotto. I mean, if you want to wear socks and nothing else all day around the house, sweet. If you want a 3-piece suit, sweet. If you want to walk a dog, sweet. Figure it out, guys. Figure it out. Life is way too damn short. Like I was sharing with Jackie and Michael before the show, I died last year. I was literally clinically dead. And I came back because of the love of a wonderful, incredible woman that stuck by my side and still sticking by me. That's an understatement when you say saint, okay? But I made a shift. And here's another thing. There has to, in my personal opinion, there has to be a polarizing moment in people's lives, because she does not cry. This woman does not cry. I mean, never.
Did you make her cry?
She sat and sobbed in front of me.
Yeah.
And I shifted my life habits at that moment, because that was too important to me to ever see her cry again. And once you have one of those polarizing moments, nothing is the same again, ever. Ever. It's a different playing field. And so she and I have had a lot of conversations about this, and I brought it into my business life to the point of, like, how many other people right now are going through something polarizing that we just don't know about? I have ran into a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in like 10 years. I sold his parents' house, helped his parents buy a house. I ran into him. I gave him a big hug. I'm like, what up, mother blanker? And we just embraced and hugged and talked, and I'm like, how's life? What's going on? And he's like, dad died yesterday.
Man.
I'm like, huh, what? And I would never have known that. My friend Candace, she died on Sunday out of the blue. Everybody fights something. So when you find somebody who's mean, angry, regretful, resentful, just ticked off, you know, has an axe to grind, be empathetic. Try to understand where they're coming from, because Jackie, as you well know, and Michael, as you well know as well, business is built on people who love, like, trust you. And you have to understand them so they understand you. Once you get to that point, it's magical, the connection. We could do cold calls. We could do door knocks, which I've done millions of, each one of them. But there's never that connection more connecting than when you say, how are you? how can I help you? How can I serve you? What can I do to bring value to your life? Is there someone that you would like to meet that maybe I know? Like, what can I do? Nobody asks those questions. They just are self-serving. So if we get out of our way and we stop being all about us and we start being about them in regards to, you know, helping another human, Michael, back to your question, what would that look like? How would that serve the world? Because we just don't think like it. Because the mainstream media and podcasts, a lot, I mean, everybody in between, it's not about us, it's about them. And that's where our mindsets go. You talk to Gen Z or Gen X, I'm Gen X, Gen Z or the millennials, it's, they're getting fed up with the bull stuff.
You can say it. It's okay. You can say it.
The bull stuff. on social media, because they see through it. So why aren't we seeing through it? Why are we being blinded by that? That's, I guess, a really big question. I'm going to shut up and let you guys talk.
Right. No. This is exactly it. You know, and so I listened to you because this all came out of my question about authenticity versus professionalism. And I think that was a beautiful, long, perfect answer. Because at the end of the day, when we all show up as our authentic selves, we set an expectation. Mm-hmm. And satisfaction is completely determined on meeting or exceeding that expectation.
Yeah.
And so if I tell the story whenever I'm trying to teach this to companies, or at least the people in companies, mm-hmm. that I love to buy new tech. When Apple comes out with a new product, I'm going to be one of the first people that signs up to buy whatever it is. Apple awesome. Will tell me that it's going to take 4 weeks for this thing that I just bought to come in. And I'm angry about it, but I'm like, okay, that's what happens when you pre-order. I'll wait my 4 weeks. I'll be patient. And then like the next day I get an email that says, you're in luck. We've moved it up. It's now going to be 2 weeks. And I think that's so exciting. And then maybe 5 days later, I get an email that says, you're in luck. We've shipped it. It's on its way to you. It'll be there tomorrow. I'm like, we went from 4 weeks to 6 days. Well, they hadn't only had to do this like three or four times for me to figure out that's their process. Every time they're going to tell me it's a longer time because they want to set that expectation and then they get the win by delivering sooner than they said. If they told me it would be there in 6 days and it would arrive in eight, I'd be really angry. But if they tell me it's going to be there in 12 days and it arrives in eight, I'm thrilled. The only difference is the expectation that was set.
It's right. And we don't do a good job of expectations. We assume the other individual understands the timelines and the timeframes and the, you know, the process. But in reality, I was talking to a friend this morning. I hate buying cars. I literally hate buying cars because I don't understand it, right? So a lot of folks in any kind of industry, if they don't understand the business, they hate the process. And what you just said, Jackie, is very profound. In a very simplistic way, setting the expectations, beating the expectations, because a lot of
and defining them, like, right? I mean, defining those expectations to begin with is important too, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Michael, 100,000%, you're right on that one. But nobody does it because they're like, oh my God, I got a listing, or I got a sale, or I did this, or did that, anything in any industry, anywhere. But you know what? Did you set it up for them, or did you just tell them? Or did you not tell them? And then you have to deal with a fire on the back end because now they're like, well, like to Jackie's point, you know, I 6 weeks, 4 days, 3 days, 1 day. And you're like, sweet. But people don't do that out of fear of being exposed because they're trying to get the sale. They're trying to get the deal done. They're trying to do whatever they're going to do, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, what if it doesn't go right? I'm going to give them a low expectation and then a bad return. It's like, no, man, come on. You can do better than this. We all can do better than this. What are you guys seeing? Like, how are you guys seeing that?
I see it exactly like that. I think it's fear-based. I think that people think that if they set a certain expectation and they don't meet it, and there's an assumption that people know. The biggest thing though, that I see kind of happening over and over again is we just don't communicate well. And so if people are not good communicators, then they don't set expectations very well. I go back to some training that Michael and I did years ago. Our kids were in grade school and we took the Stephen Covey 7 Habits.
I highly love Stephen Covey.
Me too. I refer back to it almost every day, but it's We have to listen first to be understood. It's beginning with the end in mind. All of those principles show up every time when it comes to expectations and authenticity.
But why don't people pay attention to that? I mean, in reality, that's logical sense. But the Kardashians are on at 7. Why will you have to turn that on? Or the house flipping show, or the, you know, cooking show, whatever else. We've lost the ability to understand, communicate, and learn from each other. Back in the days when there was no cell phones, I remember those days. We all do. You know what? Guess what? What did we do? Sat around and talked. That was our social media. That was our our fan base, if you want to use that verbiage, correct? Why don't we do that anymore? Oh wait, hold on. Screen time. Yep. Because we have to get the endorphins running to be told that we're good. Look at our likes and our comments, and then, you know, see what friend liked what, and did this person or that person like or not like, or blah, blah, blah. Can I say this? Okay, I'm going to say it.
You can say it.
It's all fucking bullshit.
Fact.
It's fucking bullshit. And once we understand that communication interpersonally is going to be one of the biggest things in the coming years, I honestly believe it's going to be that way. I mean, like Michael, for the people who are listening, he has a Slinky in his hand right now, right? I remember playing with Slinkies all the time, and I would love to, my friends and I would love to watch them crawl downstairs. Now, who in the blah, 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 yakety schmack, blah, still does that? Because it's not important to a lot of folks. They don't even know that it can do that. You go tell a 12-year-old to do that right now, not a chance in H-E double hockey stick that's going to take place.
Yep. It walks downstairs alone or in pairs and makes a slinkity sound. A slink, a marginal think. Everyone loves a slinky.
I don't know. Who doesn't like a slinky? If you don't like a slinky, I don't like you. Get away.
That's an impressive recall, Michael, from an ad from your youth.
Oh, yeah.
She just called you out on your age, by the way.
Oh, no. He knows.
I'm very confident. I've always been this age. I'm just finally reaching it, I think.
You got an old soul. I love it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know, I'm not going to completely disagree, because I think that that is true for a large segment of the population. But I don't think it's true for everyone. And I think people can choose to be a victim to the machine or not. I have for years taught a social media class, especially back in the early days.
And you're a genius at that, by the way.
Why, you thank are, you.
You. Every time you've been on my show, you've knocked my socks off. So I 1,000% want to listen to what you're going to say. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I think you're incredible.
No, I appreciate that. But I specifically taught classes for parents, students, and schools on what each of those three groups needed to do to be knowledgeable of what was happening and protect themselves around that environment. And for the parents and the schools, I found these images from the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s of commuters going into town, you know, think Connecticut into New York, on the train, all reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
There's no difference between that and a modern day image of a bunch of kids on a bus looking at a phone.
You have a valid point there.
And so the idea is there's always going to be something to distract us. There's always going to be something that we can choose to do instead of talking to somebody next to us or connecting. I think it's about having the parents raise their kids well and having the people understand a little bit of self-discipline. And then the last piece of that is appreciating that just like with alcohol or sugar or cigarettes or caffeine, some people have a DNA wired addiction to the substance or the screen. And so knowing where you fit in the spectrum of, I need it every once in a while for work, or I need it every day, or my hand starts to shake, tells you how hard you're going to have to work to control the choices that you make.
I agree with you, but I'm going to do a counter.
Is please. That
so I have quit three things in my life that are probably the biggest three things that people can't get over. I quit smoking cigarettes. I smoked about a pack and a half a day for about 20 years. I quit cocaine and I quit hard alcohol. Now, let's ask the question how I quit it. I quit it because there was an underlying demanding reason for me to stop. So alcohol, I was going to freaking die. Cocaine, I OD'd on doing cocaine, and I was in the bathroom bleeding out of my nose, my everything. It was a horrible situation. And I quit cigarettes because a girl that I was dating or was going to date, who was the love of my high school career life, you know, she came in back to my life 17 years later and she said, I don't like guys who smoke. I'm like, goodbye. So everything in life there's a basis to that need. So if you're hardwired, and Jackie, I agree with you on this, and I'm a victim of this, you have to understand why you're doing it. Now, you can say you don't understand it, but that means you're just lying to yourself because you haven't looked into it. Once you look into it and you're like, introspective, you know, research into my body, my brain, my thoughts, you know, my history. Oh, I see a pattern. Okay, now we have an opportunity to work on something. But when it comes down to having conversations with people, my parents, I love them to death. They are like two of my absolute best friends on earth. My dad's my mentor. My mom is my support. I mean, I sparking noodles, it would be a rough day without them, right? My parents get on planes without their phones on, and they sit there and they turn to the person next to them and they have a freaking like 3-hour conversation with that poor fool. But at the end of it, they're exchanging emails and text messages and phone numbers and everything else. My dad met his name is Marty McCarty. My dad met him door knocking, doing real estate. Here it's at Alamo, California. It's in Northern, California Bay Area. And he went out and made friends with this guy. Marty McCarty owned a very successful yogurt shops around the Bay Area. He's now the head of the international non-denominational Christian organization called Club Life, or Young Life, or whatever you want to call it. But now he's traveling around the world in a military, escort planes, doing everything. And I've traveled the world with this man, building playgrounds for kids, helping kids around the world, all kinds of stuff. It was from one door knock, one conversation that a relationship was built from, that has changed the life of thousands of people. And that's what I honestly think. And Jackie, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because I know you're much better, bigger, professional on this. And Michael, I would love to hear your thoughts as well. Why do we not do that anymore?
I was going to see if Michael wants to jump in. If not, I have some thoughts.
Well, I'd love to hear your thoughts, Jackie. But if so, we have a little aside for anybody listening who wants to know proper mic usage. Greg is doing a great job. He's talking into the mic at all times, and he sounds great. Jackie likes to talk here, and then she talks over here sometimes.
Oh, sorry.
She yells real loudly in the mic. And so when I go back to edit, I'm going to have all these little red things flying up when she gets excited and says, oh, my God, that's great. And then she talks over here, and when she looks into the camera, you still have a mic. We have to use the mic.
Sorry.
Just think
directly
about
into
radio.
The mic now.
When I did radio for about a year and a half, 2 years, it was always imperative to have this thing right in front of you, because they're directional mics. So yeah, anyways.
Right.
But anyway, I digress. And yeah, otherwise it's going great, Jackie. So go ahead and feel free to answer the question.
Oh, thank you for that on-air live audio correction. I appreciate it. So answer to the question, I think that there are still some people who do door to door. There's still some people who will make cold calls, and that's always going to be a part, that face-to-face meeting, that chance to connect with people live and in person. It's never going to go away. Humans are a herd species. We travel in packs. We need the others for safety to make ourselves feel better.
Yes.
I also think there's a place for the digital relationships. You and I have never even been in the same state at the same time, except for like 5 days when I was in California in December, but we weren't even in the same part of the state.
Well, thanks for the call, player.
Well, we were in LA and we were visiting family. We weren't anywhere up near you. Otherwise, I'd have swung by and said hi. But so we've been able to meet electronically, develop a whole relationship, and I love that for us, and that's an option. So I don't think that we have to forego the old technology for the new or hate the new technology because it's replaced the old. I think it's about finding balance in your life and embracing the tool, whatever tool's best for the job.
So help me understand, because I'm very interested about this.
Sure.
Defining that a little bit more about kind of life and kind of purpose and stuff like that, because I think that's something that a lot of people don't really think about. They think about what's popular, what's right for the social media, everything else. But walk me through that a little bit more, because I'm personally literally interested in that conversation.
Sure. So I had lunch yesterday with 7 friends from college.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then right. And then we all went to a play together after that. And one more person joined us. So there was 8 at lunch and 9 at the play. The only time anybody touched their phones in a 5 hours period was, don't tell the people in the play, but 2 of us were checking the scores of a baseball game that was really important to us. And so every 15 minutes, one of us would just pick it up, check the score, show it to the other, and put it back down. And that was it. We did it in breaks in between the scenes. So it wasn't while dialogue was happening on the stage and we had our light turned really low on our screens. But it was a very important college baseball game.
But very important. I mean, I prioritize that. Absolutely.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. But so you've got 9 women total, women, over the course of 5 hours. There were no phones on the table, not even like upside down on the table. They were in pockets, in handbags, in backpacks. Hmm. No phones. We took one out to take a picture.
I think there's a difference though, Jackie. You're talking about all these experiences are it was worth a conversation. Your experience you're talking about is dealing with people that you already know in an environment where you're not going to have your phone up every 5 minutes distracting you from the moment, right?
Sure.
There's the moment of business engagement where, you know, you meet on a podcast or a business talk and you're using digital technology for that. And I think what Greg was talking about too was when you walk into a blank room and you shut down and put yourself into a screen versus opening up to new opportunities and new engagements. Now that's always been that way. I think there's extroverts and introverts and those kind of people. I'm going to walk in a room and I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm going to skirt the room. And as soon as I find somebody that I connect with, then we may have a talk over here. Jackie's going to know everybody by the time she walks out, you know? And so there's those personalities. But I do think in today's world, that's us. We're older people living with technology because we're familiar with what it was like before. Mm-hmm. I think people that are growing up now are a whole different story. There are my kids who are all college age now, they grew mm-hmm. up in a digital world. And the ones coming after them are even more so. They grew up on phones and iPads and their playgrounds were chat rooms. Their playgrounds were game rooms, you know? I mean, and so they grew up living in a different world. So what's that world look like? I have no idea. I mean, I'm a little leery of it, but I'm nervous about it too, you know?
So you bring up a very interesting conversation point there. My parents at one of their homes, their TV is lower to the ground, right? And one of my nieces at the time, I think she was like 4 or something like that. She physically walked up to the TV and tried to swipe it. And she's like, "Mom or Grammy, the TV is broken." And I'm like, holy macaroons. Like, yeah. Are you kidding me right now? And so I do think that's a really interesting thing to think about in regards to communication ability. How do you speak to another individual? How will they hear you when you speak? Am I going to speak digitally? Am I going to speak in, you know, person? Am I going to meet you at a coffee shop? Am I going to get a beer with you? Am I going to get some tacos? I mean, what does that look like and how do they want to be spoken to? Because a lot of the times we make the assumption that everyone speaks the way we speak. Mm-hmm. So my niece, who's I think now 10, I don't have kids, so I don't, about this big. And, you know, how is she going to communicate with friends, boyfriends, fiancés, you know, how is she going to do that, right? How you and I, all the three of us did it, was completely different. I mean, you remember back in the day when you would be in school and someone would pass a note to another person, and then there would be a cryptic, some sort of word or phrase in there, and then you have to sign or do something back and send it back, and the other people would participate. That's social freaking media without the digital part.
Right.
That's the personal social media stuff. So how are you going to talk to your clients in any industry? Learn how they communicate. My dad has always told me here in the Bay Area, we are always, we're very casual. Let's put it that way. I mean, Jack Dorsey, Twitter, right?
Right.
So I'm not going to say anything beyond his name, but I have a friend of mine who works for Jack and works for Elon personally. Like, she reports directly to them. Jack Dorsey stays at her house and walks her freaking dog. And nobody comes up and talks to him because the Bay Area is so casual and laid back and relaxed. They think he's freaking homeless. I mean, he does look homeless. I mean, the guy's a multi-bajillionaire, but he looks that way, and that's acceptable. So my dad always said, you know, and still does say, and I think this goes without even need to be said, dress like your clients, act like your clients, speak like your clients. So if you're in Manhattan, for an example, that is the way I look right now. Folks are just hearing my voice. I'm wearing a baseball hat with a hoodie, with jeans, no shoes on, and socks, with a dog sleeping underneath my couch. If I was in Manhattan, that wouldn't work.
Right.
No, Northern California, it does work. If I was in Florida, I would need to be wearing flip-flops, shorts, probably a Tommy Bahama shirt or something like that. Because I taught door knocking down to agents in Florida. And the funny story is, you guys will get a kick out of this. First day out, I met this brokerage. Walked in there, white shirt, got my name tag on, I got a tie, got my slacks, got my shoes, I was ready to go. And I met with all the agents I was going to go out with, and one of them goes, are you seriously going to go out like that? I said, I don't have anything else, so yeah. Walked to the first door, and this goes back to the conversation about speaking to the clients that they want to be spoken to. Walked to the first door, nice woman, very nice woman. I talked to her, she doesn't want to sell, and she literally told me, she's like, oh, thank God, I thought you weren't one of those religious groups, you know, and I'm just so glad, yeah, I want to sell. I'm like, okay, enough bullshit. So I took the tie off, put it in my back pocket, I unbuttoned my shirt a little bit, and the next day, guess what? I was there for a week. I went down to Target and I bought some generic, you know, clothing, like shorts, flip-flops, you know, fake Tommy Bahama stuff, just to kind of buy the time. But I learned something, that you have to understand who your client is and then go from there. And, mm-hmm. And that was a funny lesson, because everyone told me that was going to happen, that I was door knocking with. And I'm like, you're silly. Because in California, I did it all the time. But that wasn't my clientele.
Right.
And that's what lesson.
No, it's knowing how they want to be spoken to and where they want to be spoken to. Do they prefer phone calls, text messages, emails, direct message? You have to know them inside and out. And so we always talk about, when it comes to branding, knowing your audience better than they know themselves, knowing their demographics, mm-hmm. knowing their psychographics, knowing their pain points, knowing their personality profiles. Like attracts like. And so the better you know them, and therefore you have to segment, because you can't just say all of my clientele. You have to know their target audience segmentation and then know that group backwards and forwards. Then you can connect with them.
Yeah, be a student of life.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that you mentioned earlier before, I know we're running kind of short on time, but you mentioned earlier, Greg, the relationships with people, seeing them, identifying with them, understanding, they had a bad day that day, what's going on in their lives and all those things. And we have a brand developer, one of our vice presidents here at the company. She's really good, Molly Daigle. And I watch her on
Molly, by the way. Amazing woman.
Do you really know her? Have you met
her? No, she's phenomenal.
Okay. Anyway, I think she is. But she is. What's cool about her, though, in the way that she deals with clients, like I watch her, and I guess I didn't realize it until the other day. And I mentioned her in a meeting about how she approaches certain things and how, even the most headstrong CEOs, they're strong people, strong personalities, but she disarms them with her kindness, you know? Mm-hmm. And every meeting that she starts, it starts with, how are you? How was your day? What's going on in your world? What's the weather like? What's going on? And it's always starts that way. And it's a 5-10 minute conversation. And at first I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, what are we doing? Let's get to the business. But that part of the conversation changes everything. And it's led to some really strong relationships with our clients in a way that we I don't think I've experienced before in the past many years, you know, that mm-hmm. those relationships have turned into, and look, it's all business, and business changes and things move around. I get all that. I think we all get that. We're all grownups. But at the same time, it's okay to be disarmed in those moments and to be real. And that has led to amazing communication and amazing relationships.
I think what you said right there was a very, very profound, but so simplistic that we overlook it. You know, one of the things that I use with clients so they can be heard is there are two different conversations. One, if I'm going to meet with you and Jackie to help you sell your home or talk about a business opportunity, I'll ask you, hey, are you a coffee drinker or a tea drinker? And then like, well, I'm coffee. Do you like it black? Do you like it with cream, with sugar? What do you like? What is Jackie like? Well, she's a tea drinker. Okay. What kind of tea? Black tea. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show up tomorrow with you guys. I'm going to meet with you and I'm going to bring some coffee some cream and sugar for you. And I'm going to bring Jackie some black tea. We'll sit down and talk. And then the number one thing that I always do, like you just said, to disarm people, as I ask people, how can I help you? How can I serve you? What value can I bring to you? Is there anything or anyone I can connect you with or to? Once you start that conversation, you just became a much more valuable asset for them to utilize and potentially refer or at least get them to the next place in life. And that can be business, real estate, finances, mentally. You know, I had a friend of mine contact me the other day about an issue, which I'm not going to go into on air, but it was not a fun issue. Let's put it that way. Right. And I said, how can I help you? How can I serve you? Who can I introduce you to? I know a lot of freaking people. And they said, well, I need this. I said, give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, put them on a conference call, problem solved. That is value.
Mm-hmm. Game changer.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Why don't we all do it then?
I think some people don't have the capacity. I think some people get so bogged down in their own stuff. I think it's fear.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's fear of, in my personal understanding, it's fear of rejection. Because what if you say, Jackie, how can I serve you? Well, I don't need anything, Greg. Oh, okay. Okay, bye. Right. I'm out of here.
Right.
But
fear.
But you asked, and that's more than the other people didn't do. Just try that, guys and gals. Just ask. Be an open book. I told you guys about my drug problems, my drinking issues, all my, cluster F of a past life, not graduating college. Now, do you think I would not share that with you if I didn't have something to bring to you? Everyone's screwed up. Everyone's got a past. Everyone's got a story. And I love that. Hear the story. Help the story. Build the story. But never stop trying. And I think a lot of us, Jackie, from what you said earlier, I think a lot of people just stop trying. Honestly, I just think they're done. They're self-serving. And that's not saying that the individuals listening to this are self-serving. I'm saying society is self-serving because guess what? We listen to our own podcast, which, by the way, I love your podcast. And what about listening to other people's stories, aka podcast? Like, what are they projecting? What are they putting out there? My buddy, who I've known since high school, nonstop. I mean, this guy's like he's very active in the outdoor environment. Let's put it that way. And I keep seeing him in the hospital all the time. My other friend, Shelby, I grew up with, she has breast cancer. And so I reach out to them consistently going like, guys, how are you? What's going on? How can I serve you? What can I do? Like, what's up? People will respond to that. And it doesn't have to be a financial gain. It's just knowing someone else actually gives a rip about you. And guess what? If they're not going to do business with you, they probably know somebody who might. And if you show them a little love, that's going to change the entire freaking game. But we don't do it because of fear of rejection, in my experience.
Right.
And loss of perception, I think, too. I think, I mentioned Molly earlier. That's somebody who, she is the same way she is on the call, off the call, behind the call, whatever. She is who she is. And mm-hmm. It doesn't change. And Jackie's the same way. For lover or hater, she's 100% Jackie, whatever you, I'm not saying everybody doesn't love you, Jackie. I'm just saying.
You should see her face right now, by the way. She's like, I'm going to eat you for dinner later.
I'm fine with it. He speaks no lies.
No, but there is something where you have to be fearless in that too. You know, you have to be unafraid of perception or what somebody thinks. I'm a little more on the other side of that. I grew up in a family, Italian family, that's very, for some reason, we worry about what everybody thinks about us. It's about, you know,
really?
and not in a negative way. It's just like, we have this, I don't know, we're not important people, but we're worried about our
words
perception.
Words have power.
Well, you don't understand though. Like we have no leverage over a lot of things. But at the same time, it's like, well, we have to be thought of a certain way, or we have to hold this standard, or we have to, you know, don't let you, like, as kids, you know, you're not going to run around and scream in public. My God, that's a bad reflection on me, you know? And it was that kind of thing. You know, it was like, it was all about reflection on your family name, on who you are, and you keep it all tight. You keep it all right here, you know, that kind of thing. And I think we all grew up, a lot of us grew up with that. And it depending on what family you're from, especially in ethnic families. I think I'd say we're not really technically ethnic, but Italian American, you know, it was, we kept all that close, and mm-hmm. and it's hard to get out and let it all out. You know what I'm saying? Talk about the world and show your true self. It's like, I'm not going to show that. That's only for people that really know me. Good and point. There's a balance there. It's hard sometimes. It's fear.
I agree with you 1,000%. And I stopped giving a rip about what people thought about me when I didn't graduate college, because I was ashamed of myself. And I was the black sheep of the family. My brother and sister graduated college. They went to school together. All my other cousins and nephews and nieces, they're all incredibly smart, all got degrees. And I'm the dipshit who didn't graduate, right?
I didn't graduate either.
Sweet, we're cousins. I love this.
There you go. Yeah.
But that is where the basis of honesty started with me personally. Because I said, ain't got shit else to lie about. Screw it. Let's just go. And I think a lot of folks, when they get to that point, and I'm so thankful, Jackie, for sharing that, because I did not know that, because you're so successful, so intelligent, so renowned, you know, in what you do. And it's an honor to be here with both of you. You know, understanding that dyslexia, ADHD, which I have both of, you know what? They're not detriments, they're attributes. So every scar you have is an attribute. There's been a lot of stories of, you know, I know we're running up on time, and I respect that. Probably got a couple of minutes. There's a story of a dog that went missing for about 2 days. Dog came back torn up, and it was a pit bull. And they're like, what in the heck happened to this freaking dog? The dog was protecting his house, his owner's house, and killed 7 wolves.
Oh.
7 wolves by himself. Now, he came back tore up. Let's not get that twisted. But here's the thing. The dog was not the smartest, but he had a mission, he had a plan, and he executed. All you have to do is have a mission. I always tell my team manager, my friends, and my family, I am a missile. Point me in the right direction. I will hit the target. I guarantee you that. And a lot of folks don't have that insight in themselves. They fear what could go wrong. They never look at what could be right. And so then they never step off on campaign to actually execute the potential. I don't know what you're doing.
That's Jackie and I.
Oh. Oh, by the way, you guys know I have a Jackie in my life, by the way, right?
Yep.
And she kicks me in the hoo-haws every friggin' day. And here's the way why I like that. And Michael, you might, you know, resonate with this. The reason why the people in your life that are important, that teach you different life lessons, is because they love and care for you more than you can possibly imagine. They'll watch over and protect you. But sometimes we don't see it because we're so afraid of what we're going to do to offend them. But if you don't do something, then they're going to get offended if you don't try something. So you have to get out of your own friggin' way and really just go. Your support staff, whatever that looks like in your life, ladies and gentlemen, the people who really care about you will be behind you and watch your six and pick you up when you're down support you when and love you when you're doing great. And then you have the obligation to do the exact freaking same thing to them every day. Mic drop.
Facts. Mic drop. Facts. Greg, I don't know how an hour has flown by so fast because those were all gorgeous, beautiful words of wisdom. Tell the people how they can find you.
You know what, Jackie and Michael, thank you for so much for having me on. If you guys want to reach out to me, just follow me, Greg McDaniel, R-E-U, on Facebook and Instagram. Go find me there. You'll, if you don't see my face, big white dude with glasses and usually a baseball hat. So go check me out, Greg McDaniel. Google me. You'll find me very quickly. And I would love to help and support you in any way, shape, or form. And again, I want to thank you guys for this opportunity.
No, thank you. And we'll put links in the message notes as well.
Rock and roll.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Greg. This was awesome.
Hey, guys. Shoot, I had more fun than I think you guys did. I mean, I'm just sitting here going like, this is so great to talk with intelligent, honest human beings. Let's do this again.